Dear children, good morning to all of you. I am going to teach you pedalogy. Before going to learn about the lesson, we should know that what is pedalogy. Let us get back to the contrast between Belgium and Sri Lanka that we saw in the last chapter. You should recall that one of the key changes made in the constitution of Belgium was to reduce the power of a central government and to give these powers to the regional government. Regional governments existed in Belgium even earlier. They had their roles and powers, but all these powers were given to these government and could be withdrawn by the central government. The changes that took place in 1993 was that the regional governments were given constitutional powers that were no longer dependent on the central government. Thus, Belgium shifted from a unitary to a federal form of a government. Sri Lanka continues to be, for all practical purposes, a unitary system where the national government has all the powers. Tamil leaders want Sri Lanka to be some of the federal system. Federalism is a system of a government in which power is divided between central authority and various constituent units of the country. Usually, a federation has two levels of government. One is the government for the entire country that is usually responsible for a few subjects of a common national interest. The others are governments at the level of provinces or states that look after much of the day-to-day administrating of their state. Both these levels of government enjoy their power independent of the other. In this sense, federations are contrasted with unitary governments. Under the unitary system, either there is one level of government or the sub-units are subordinate to the central government. The central government can pass on orders to the provincial or the local government. But in a federal system, the central government cannot order the state government to do something. State government has power of its own for which it is not answerable to the central government. Both these governments are separately answerable to the people. Let us look at some of the key features of the federalism. So there are 7 features of federalism. The first feature of federalism is that there are 2 or more levels or tier of government. The second feature is that different tiers of government govern the same citizens, but each tier has its own jurisdictions. In specific matters of legislation, taxation, and administration, the jurisdictions of the respective level of tiers of government are specified in the constitution. So the existence and authority of each tier of government is constitutionally guaranteed. The fourth one is that the fundamental provisions of the constitution cannot be unilaterally changed by one level of government. Such changes require the consent of both the levels of government. The fifth one is that courts have the power to interpret the constitution and the powers of the different levels of government. The highest court acts as an umpire if a dispute arises between different levels of government in the exercise of their respective powers. The sixth one is that source of revenue for each level of government are clearly specified to ensure its financial autonomy. The seventh one is that the federal system thus has dual objectives: to safeguard and promote unity of the country while at the same time accommodate regional diversity. Therefore, two aspects are crucial for the institution and the practice of federalism. Governments at different levels should agree to some rules of power sharing. They should also trust that each would abide by its part of the agreement. An ideal federal system has both aspects, mutual trust and agreement to live together. The exact balance of power between the central and the state government varies from one federation to another. This balance depends mainly on the historical context in which the federation was formed. There are two kinds of routes through which federations have been formed. The first route involves independent states coming together on their own to form a bigger unit so that by pooling sovereignty and retaining identity, they can increase their security. This type of coming together federations include the USA, Switzerland, and Australia. In the first category of federations, all the constituent states usually have equal power and strong in regard to federal government. The second route is where a large country decides to divide its power between the constituent states and the national government. India, Spain, and Belgium are examples of this kind of holding together federations. In this second category, the central government tends to be more powerful with regard to the states. Very often, different constituent units of the federations have unequal powers. Some units are granted special powers. Now we have treated what makes India a federal country. We have earlier seen how small countries like Belgium and Sri Lanka face so many problems of managing diversity. What about a vast country like India, which has so many languages, religions, and regions? What are the power sharing arrangements in our country? Let us begin with the constitution. India had emerged as an independent nation after a painful and a bloody partition. Soon after independence, several princely states became a part of the country. The constitution declared India is a union of states. Although it did not use the word federation, the Indian union is based on the principles of federalism. Let us back to the seven features of federalism mentioned above. We can see that all these features apply to the provisions of the Indian constitution. The constitution originally provided for a two-tier system of government, the union government, or what we call the central government, representing the Union of India and the state government. Later, a third tier of federation was added in the form of panchayats and municipalities. As in any federation, these different tiers enjoy separate jurisdiction. The constitution clearly provided a threefold distribution of legislative powers between the union government and the state government. Thus, it contains three lists. Now we have read out all the three lists. First of all, union list. Union list includes a subject of national importance such as defense of the country, foreign affairs, banking, communications, and currency. They are included in this list because we need a uniform policy on these matters throughout the country. The union government also can make laws relating to the subjects mentioned in the union list. The second one is the state list. The state list contains subject of state and local importance such as police, trade, commerce, agriculture and irrigation. The state governments Elon can make laws relating to the subjects mentioned in the state list. The third one is the concurrent list. Concurrent list includes subject of common interest to both the union government as well as the state government, such as education, forest, trade unions, marriage, adoption, and succession. Both the union as well as the state government can make laws on the subjects mentioned in this list. If their laws conflict with each other, the law made by the union government will prevail. What about the subjects that do not fall in any of the three lists? Or subjects like computer software that came up after the constitution was made? According to our constitution, the union government has the power to legislate on these residual subjects. We noted above that most federations that are formed by holding together do not give equal powers to its constituent units. Thus, all states in the Indian Union do not have identical powers. Some states enjoy a special status. Jammu and Kashmir has its own constitution. Many provisions of the Indian constitution are not applicable to this state without approval of the state assemblies. Indians who are not permanent residents of the state cannot buy land or house here. Similar special provisions exist for some other states of India as well. There are some units of the Indian Union which enjoy very little power. These are areas which are too small to become an independent state, but which could not be merged with any of the existing states. These areas, like Chandigarh or Lakshadweep or the capital city of Delhi, are called Union Territories. These territories do not have the power of a state. The central government has special powers in running these areas. This sharing of power between the union government and the state government is basic to the structure of the constitution. It is not easy to make changes to this power sharing arrangement. The parliament cannot, on its own, change this arrangement. Any change to it has to be first passed by both the houses of parliament with at least 2/3 majority. Then it has to be ratified by the legislatures of at least half of the total states. The judiciary plays an important role in overseeing the implementation of constitutional provisions and procedures. In case of any dispute about the division of powers, the High Court and the Supreme Court make a decision. The union and the state government have the power to raise resources by levying taxes in order to carry on the government and the responsibilities assigned to each of them.